Mary and I have a friend. I'll call her Pauline, who's a musician. At least that's what comes to mind when I first think of her. Now, Pauline also happens to be one of New England's leading psychiatrists for people with eating disorders. But during our college years, when Mary and I were singing with her in the Worcester Chorus, Pauline was an underclassman with a lovely soprano voice who also happened to be a quite accomplished harp player. She was the only college freshman I knew that had her own station wagon. Because after all, you can't use a moped or a VW Bug to haul a harp to a gig now, can you? Pauline grew up in Springfield, Missouri. She was actively involved in the worship and music program and the youth group of the Presbyterian Church there, maybe the same church that our youth mission trip stayed at about 15 years ago. But we've kept in touch with Pauline because of reunions of the Worcester Chorus and now because of Facebook. Last summer, we got to have breakfast with Pauline and her husband at their century home in Portland, Maine. Still as spunky as she was at the age of 18. You pair her with my wife, and you've got two of the most compassionate people I know. Mary and I love Pauline, and I also hurt for Pauline. She's lost her ability to trust the church. Not her congregation, not the Presbyterian Church USA. Just as Pilate washed his hands of that whole sentencing of Jesus thing, Pauline has washed her hands of the Christian church. For now, at least, according to the chat I had with her. Why? Well, because the Christian faith that catches her eye no longer seems to be in line with the spirit of compassion, generosity, and trust that Jesus preached and practiced. Today's gospel lesson takes place over the space of 8 days. The first part of the story occurred on the evening of the first Easter. The second part occurred a week later, that is, today. 10 of the apostles were holed up somewhere in Jerusalem, behind locked doors, afraid that the mob or the military might be coming for them the way they had for Jesus. And there in that locked hideout, suddenly and without warning, the resurrected Jesus was standing in their midst. And the disciples' astonishment was soon replaced by joy, seeing their master and teacher alive again. And after some time, Jesus departed as mystically as he had arrived. So I said 10 of the apostles because, well, Judas was not there, of course. Also, the disciple Thomas was not present. We don't know where he was or why he wasn't there. When he did rejoin his friends, they were all, "We saw the Lord, Thomas." "Oh, you missed it, Thomas. You snooze, you lose, Thomas." "Nope," he responded. "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those hands and my hand in his side, unless I do that, I will not believe." And ever since then, we have known that disciple as Doubting Thomas. Good job. But But according to Diane Roth, who is a Lutheran pastor in Texas, in writing for Christian Century magazine, while the nickname Doubting Thomas has stuck, it's not really accurate, she writes. There is a Greek word for doubt, but John, the Gospel writer, doesn't use that. He uses the word apistos, which means faithless. Thomas is not a doubter. He is faithless. He says it himself in front of the other disciples. He doesn't say, I doubt it. He says, I will not believe unless I see. So doubting Thomas is really faithless Thomas. He won't believe unless his physical senses confirm what his heart and mind struggle to comprehend. And in this way, Thomas reminds me of our friend Pauline. She's not doubting Pauline because she doesn't have her hesitations about Christianity. No. Like the disciple, she is faithless, Pauline, because based on what she has heard being said, and based on what she has seen being done or not done in the name of Christianity, she has not seen signs of the church embodying Christ's love. Now, I told Pauline that she's applying to the whole church the faults of some. It's like a Facebook post yesterday accusing all Ohioans of being racist because two thoughtless baseball fans mocked and taunted people demonstrating outside Progressive Field advocating for Native American rights. And while the video of those two fans showed their crude and rude behavior, there were, what, 35,000 other fans who were not crude and rude? And in effect, that's what I told Pauline. Don't condemn the church for what you see from a few supposed churchgoers. Nevertheless, the reality is that the faults of some Christians in name only, those faults do indeed fly in the face of what Jesus showed us and taught us. Let me suggest four examples. First, science has proven that addiction to a chemical is a disease of the brain. And yet too many Christians condemn that sick person as though they willfully sought to contract that disease. Second, while invoking words and symbols of the Christian faith, white supremacists denigrate the very humanity of people with dark-toned skin. And yet it's ironic that many of them or their wives or girlfriends go to a lot of trouble and expense at the beach or in tanning salons to achieve fashionable tans by darkening their skin. Third, Jesus showed loving acceptance for every person, even praying for the people who brought about his death. And yet, some so-called Christians routinely ignore Jesus' teaching and the very example of his life. Some Christians ridicule people whose innate biological gender identity doesn't conform to typical female-male types. Now, Perhaps the most graphic and disturbing example is one that I dare say all of us have seen. The members of the infamous Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, in their senseless strategy to condemn non-typical gender identity, the members of that church randomly and viciously taunt grieving military families at the funerals of their fallen loved one. It has nothing to do with gender identity, but there they are, taunting those families. And fourth, one of the realities of the world throughout history is that there have always been people seeking refuge from dangerous and oppressive places. I mean, in the Old Testament, Jacob and his many sons were refugees. And you may have heard of some famous refugees mentioned in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, who had to escape danger in Bethlehem by fleeing to Egypt for a while. Or in the year 1939, our own supposed Judeo-Christian nation would not admit a ship bearing 900 Jewish refugees from Europe. And the United States government sent the steamship St. Louis back to Europe, and the tragic consequence was that nearly 30% of its passengers were known to have died in the Holocaust as a consequence. And about 1.5 million people whose heritage is in Palestine have been living as refugees in more than 50 refugee camps in their own land for generations. Generations. And yet people claiming to have Christ in their hearts would close their hearts to the desperate plight of refugees. Who chooses to be a refugee? Now, it's absolutely true that most Christians don't speak or act in ways so contrary to the life and teachings of Jesus. But see how we're being painted with the same broad brush strokes because of that supposed Christian minority whose words and deeds ignore or even contradict the example of Jesus. As Christians, that makes our role in the world harder. And it makes our role in the world all the more urgent. Perhaps it sounds naive to our ears, but when we can no longer see Jesus, and when those around us can no longer see Jesus, they are looking for him in our lives. They are looking for him in communities of faith that care for those who are needy, that sacrifice rather than hoard, that include rather than exclude, that listen before speaking. They are looking for us to hold out our hands to see if we have wounds. Jesus holds out his wounded hands to Thomas, the proof that his love and suffering are real, that he is the same man who was crucified. Maybe that's what the world is asking of us, to see what we are willing to risk for the sake of love. For the sake of one who loves us. Pauline wants to see the Church of Jesus Christ act like Jesus Christ. And I dare say, so do we.